COPA's Migration 8 was anything but just another owner's group fly-in. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're going to talk today about COPA Migration M8, or Migration 8, I guess, M8, which happened the weekend of June 18th through the 20th in Dayton, Ohio. And we had a unique perspective on COPA this year because we have a Cirrus owner and operator very close to the company this year. Jim Campbell, our CEO and editor-in-chief of Aero News, is on the line with me. Jim, thanks for taking some time for our listeners today.
Well, let me correct you on one particular issue, Paul. You don't own an airplane. The airplane owns you.
Oh, okay.
Or it actually owns your soul, I think would probably be more apropos.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, I got to tell you, there were some odd-looking stories coming out of this just from the beginning, because when I think migration, obviously the metaphor is supposed to be with migratory birds, but migratory birds, when they're flying south for the winter, are usually in a species homogeneous formation. And if there was anything that really kind of stuck out in what I saw about M8 this year, it was the presence of, Eclipse and Piper. And tell us a little bit about how that got put together.
Well, actually, it's a kind of an interesting story. There's a number of people that helped put together the COPA migration. And I got to tell you, it's a great group of people, very dedicated. There's a couple of very unique personalities who contribute to a number of different areas. We worked with Gil Williamson and Andy Niemeyer and a host of other folks. But one person in particular took it upon himself to push the concept of letting other manufacturers know that here were a bunch of established aircraft owners, some of whom may be either looking to add an airplane or to move up, especially people whose families and so forth got past the four-seat mark. And before you know it, they had something going where they had not only Eclipse show up and did a lot of demos, but they had a number of other aircraft from the standpoint of they had Cessna and they had Piper. They had Cicada. They had just all kinds of things showing up, even to the point of the Extra 500 made its first U.S. Tour with the R9 integrated into it. And that's the Avidyne Release 9 Integra system. And then, of course, there are a number of modified aircraft. Nexair showed up with their upgraded Cirruses with R9 and TAT's turbo and so forth. So you name it, they had it, and it became a little mini air show. A lot of manufacturers realize. I mean, good example, best of all, is Piper. I mean, Piper knows very clearly that a lot of their Malibu and Meridian sales and even some Matrix sales have come from Cirrus pilots who basically decided that four seats were no longer enough, especially once they added somebody to the family. And as a result, they were looking at a ready-built customer base, and so they showed up. As a matter of fact, Piper was the primary sponsor for this year's Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association migration.
That's an interesting phenomenon, and tell me if I maybe am misreading this anecdotally. I don't have any data to back it up, but it seems as though Cirrus, because the company has not been afraid to innovate and move product cycles fairly quickly, seems to have attracted a group of owners who think in terms of upgrading more often than maybe some other brands.
That's an excellent observation, and you're absolutely correct. They are not adverse to moving up to get what they want, especially from a standpoint of seats or performance. There have been a number of pilots who have been homegrown, if you will. They saw the Cirrus. They wanted the Cirrus. They learned to fly in their Cirrus. But they added people, or they decided that pressurization was for them, or more known ice capability, or for that matter, turbine or jet. And as a result, it's really fun to watch a significant population, a part of the Cirrus population, grow up and go jet, go turboprop, go twin, you name it. There's an awful lot of activity that has sparked additional activity in the rest of aviation outside of the Cirrus community, but started with the Cirrus community.
Let's talk about some of the specific things product-wise that were presented to the folks at M8. And the first thing that pops out, I think, presence-wise, Avidyne was one, but let's talk about Teledyne Continental Motors first, because this seemed like a pretty big deal to give a choice between the Tornado Alley installation that's been available, that was kind of adopted from the aftermarket by Cirrus, and now the all-Continental solution, which seems to have some distinct advantages in some applications.
Well, Continental presented an engine that they have been working on and off for quite some time, although Brett Ross, the CEO of TCM, tells us that the majority of the work was done in the past year. But the TSIO 550K, their turbocharged engine, has been adapted to the Cirrus airframe, and you now have the choice between the turbo-normalized SR22 as presented through the STC offered by Tornado Alley, which has a phenomenally good reputation in a number of years in grade. Now up against the TCM TSIO 550K fully turbocharged system. It has a little bit more power. It's been set up to run continuously at 2,500 RPM for the standpoint of vibration and noise. It's got a number of other little creature features to it. They've changed the cowling to accommodate the engine for cooling. They've made some changes to the nose gear and the engine mount. The engine mount in particular was very smooth, as we attested to in our flight test report. And, of course, one of the stumbling blocks in the previous situation was that you had two parties that you had to deal with in a warranty situation, which was a combination of Tornado Alley and Cirrus, because Continental would not back the Tornado Alley modified engines because they were a modification to their engine. Now, with an all-Continental power plant solution, Continental was responsible entirely for the warranty portion of the firewall forward installation. How it's going to pan out, it's going to take time and grade. There's a fair amount of grumbling in the Cirrus community that it wasn't necessary because they had a good engine. But at the same time, Continental presents itself as an engine that is certainly farther along the food chain to deal with the possible solutions they see for the current and growing aviation fuel crisis. They've run it on 94 UL, which they think is what we were likely to get stuck with. A lot of people will both agree and disagree on that. But Continental is at least facing the fact that our fuel days are numbered. They have a solution, and they think that they have a solution that is more adaptable and more ready for the future than any other. Whether that's true or not remains to be seen. And, of course, the big test of any power plant system is what happens after it's got a year or two or three in the field. Tornado Alley had some teething pains in the very beginning, which they fixed and dealt with. And I can personally attest it's one of the smoothest running, best little turbocharged power plants I've ever flown. And yet at the same time, Teledyne Continental did not fall off the turnip truck yesterday. And so we expect some interesting, if not great, things from them in the coming years.
Now, this is essentially the same engine that they flew into Oshkosh in normally aspirated form last year. Is that right?
Not necessarily. I understand that there's been an awful lot of work done since then. This is one of the things they took some pains to explain.
More of our look back at Copa's Migration 8 with Jim Campbell in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with ANN CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell about the recent Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association's Migration 8 in Dayton, Ohio. More than we've seen in the past, this year's event was used as a platform by a number of other manufacturers to reach the Cirrus owner base. Let's talk about Avadyne, Avedon has a lot going on right now, and it seemed timely it seemed very timely that their STC for the or their approval for the new autopilot product came just at the dawn of M8 this year. Talk about how that went over and how it was received at the gathering.
Well, the DFC-90, which actually was the second autopilot program that they announced after the DFC-100, the DFC-90 is off to an amazing success. I mean, it's a success sight unseen at this point from a sales standpoint, because they're busy shipping 250 of these things at so many thousands of dollars a pop. So, it's instant cash flow back in Avedon, and I guess Dan's in tall cotton at the moment. Dan Schwinn, the boss at Avedon. Basically, you had two autopilot programs. The DFC-90 is for the older generation of Avedon Integras as installed in the Cirrus, SR20 and SR22s. It does require a small PFD modification, and the PFD has to be sent in or exchanged. But the DFC-90 is an all-digital autopilot with more tricks up its sleeve than anything we've seen so far in GA. And I mean, I'm very serious about that. There's some great stuff out there. There's some really, really great stuff out there. I've got an S-Tech 55X that I just love to death and has never given me an ounce of problem over a long period of time, and it's been a great, great, great little autopilot for me. But this is something entirely different, because it's not only kind of a riding-on-rails digital experience, but they also have envelope protection, although the FAA has not seen fit to give them the full envelope protection yet that they originally designed into the system. There's still one or two little things they've got to work out. But envelope protection means the ability of the autopilot to keep the airplane from doing something that's going to get it into trouble, i.e. it won't let it overspeed, it won't let it underspeed or stall. And there's a number of other aspects to envelope protection that make this a true game changer. Now, the DFC-100 will be the same autopilot plus a few other tricks and a more deluxe information bus, and that will interface directly with Release 9. And I got to tell you, I'm really, really looking forward to it. The initial reports on the DFC-90 installations that have been completed just in the last few days are over the moon. Everybody is talking about a much smoother ride, fast and incredibly accurate intercepts. They're talking about ILSs in very heavy crosswinds that are flown without deviation, or some of the S-turns and hunting that older legacy systems are prone to. And it's going to change the game. It also changes Avedon as a company. Avedon was this great little company that was the first to make a major mark in glass panel displays, so the installation in Cirruses a couple of years ago. They got a little slow and a little bit behind things, and for a while it sure looked like Garmin was going to clean their clock. And they came back strong. They came back hard. They made a significant and concerted effort into renewing their emphasis on customer service, and it's worked. They now not only have a phenomenally good product in Release 9, which is one of the most user-friendly cockpit interfaces I've ever flown, but they are supporting it very well, and also being innovative in a number of other ways. They're doing great works with their Strike Finder series, their Traffic series, and this autopilot, especially once it grows beyond the bounds of the Cirrus and into the Piper series that the Integras are going into now, both Release 9 as well as Legacy Integra 1s, and other airframes that are begging for it, they're going to set the world on fire. They really are. And it's fun to watch little companies like Avedon grow and turn out to be the biggest innovators in the park. It's between Avedon and Aspen, who's also extraordinarily innovative on the aftermarket side across a number of airframes. You have to admit that the true news in avionics has not come from Kansas and Garmin in the past year. It's come from Albuquerque, and it's come from Massachusetts, courtesy of Aspen and Avedon.
And they've apparently pulled it off without losing any of the user friendliness, which was an attribute that was part of their appeal in the beginning.
And that's something they haven't lost sight of. They realize that one of the first things that people drew distinctions between Avedine and the Garmin system, the G1000, and the bigger brother perspective was the usability issue. The Garmin is an amazingly capable and extremely talented system. It is not the easiest thing in the world to use, but more important than easy to use, it has a well-nested menuing and user methodology that can take some time getting from A to Z. Best example I have is that not too long ago, while cranking down through Fort Lauderdale and shooting the arrival into there, the winds changed and the controller decided at the very last minute he was going to switch me over to another side and another arrival and another everything. And a G1000 or a 490, or a 430 or 530 or a perspective, that's an awful lot of button pushing, twisting, and turning, and dials and knobs and this and that. In the R9, it's procedure, it's pick the arrival, pick the approach, pick the arrival, do what you need to do. It's a couple of pushes, and you're done in 30 seconds. Actually, much less than that if you know what you're doing. That has been the genius of Avedine. They made it to the point, they made it easy, they made it capable, and frankly, they made it fun. That's a heck of an endorsement, and it's one easy for me to make because you've got to remember I've got a pretty significant investment in the system. I mean, we're paying for it every month, and it's the best money we've spent outside of our actual aircraft purchase.
Tomorrow, we'll conclude our look back at M8 with a discussion of Cirrus CEO Brent Wouters' statements about the state of the company. Find out more about the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association at cirruspilots.org. Jim Campbell is CEO and Editor-in-Chief of Aero News Network. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening, and have a clear and unlimited day.